Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program brought to you, of course, by Midas Gold Group, MidasGoldGroup.com. Look, we got banks failing. We got economies crashing. Put some of your money into gold. Trust me on this. The guys over at Midas Gold Group can help you, veteran-owned. They think like us. They believe in the things we do. MidasGoldGroup.com. All right, well, welcome to Stinchfield. Please go to GrantStinchfield.com. Share this podcast everywhere you can. If you're watching the video, like it, please. And then, of course, Stinchfield's Army gear at GrantStinchfield.com as well. Such an important topic I want to talk about today. That's the vaccine. I was just talking to a very good friend of mine about the vaccine, and she says, you really think there's problems with it? And I said, do I really think there's problems with it? I said, how many times have you had COVID? She said, twice. I said, well, that's how many times I've had COVID, and I don't have the vaccine, and you have. You tell me if there's problems with it. It didn't work for you. And then you see all these people dropping over, the myocarditis, other side effects. You got the miscarriage issue. So I think what people are left with are saying, can I get this vaccine out of my body? Is it the spike protein that I hear so much about, the messing with your DNA and RNA, and can you clear it from your body if you've had it? Well, I wanted to tackle that question along with what's in our food and why are so many of us not feeling healthy? Here I am with a cold as I'm doing this, right? Isn't that fitting? But we'll tackle all of those questions with a very good guy, knowledgeable guy with a history in law enforcement, but he's also a doctor. Dr. Mark Sherwood is with us today. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Hey, Grant, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
So you've got all kinds of stuff. Let me first get it out there. You've got a book out. You can be found, everybody. Why don't you tell everybody where you can be found?
Yeah, we've got 3 number one best-selling books. We've got some movies we've made, and we're out here to help people. People can go to Sherwood.tv, and everything is sort of hubbed there.
All right, perfect. So Sherwood.tv, you've become somewhat, well, we'll call it an expert, not even somewhat, an expert on everything healthy, but also the vaccine issues and things like that. We talk about this spike protein, and can you get the effects of the vaccine out of your body if you say, you know what, I wish I didn't take the vaccine. So first off, I guess let's start from the beginning. What is the spike protein?
All right, so way back when, going back to, you know, February or March 2020, Grant, we all heard about this unique formation of a virus that had a characteristic of a spike protein. And we saw pictures that looked like, well, we'll use a term that we'd all understand, like a cockabur, you know, those things that would be stickers on them, right? And the stickers were actually the spike protein. And those stickers, spikes, were actually the hooks that were latching on to the cells of our body. The receptors, or the receiver to those spikes, were the ACE2, or the angiotensin-converting enzyme receptors, which generally hang out in our lungs and our heart and things like that, right? So the idea behind the vaccines, and again, I'm not a fan of them, clearly, but I want people to know the thinking behind them, most likely, was there was a viral vector that was the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that was used to sort of attach a little bit of a monkey virus that had been mutated to have the spikes so that that could come in the body and the body could then see those spikes and develop some kind of antibody against those spikes. Hence, you can now check the COVID-19 IgG antibody. You can do that through blood tests. We do it all the time. The other variation of the vaccine was this thing we call the mRNA, which was actually encapsulating a recipe to make the spike that was inserted within our genetic code. This was done with these nanoparticles, these fat balls, if you will. And so it was assimilated into the cell membrane and into our cells so it could become a transcriber of sorts, or a maker, or a recipe for that. And then the body is making its own spikes with the idea that we would develop antibodies against those spikes. But it turns out that the actual pathogen, or the dangerous component that creates the disease processes that we now know as COVID-19, is the spike. So, interestingly enough, we have a vaccine that's creating the pathogen, and now we're having a difficult time dealing with it.
So the spike protein that was meant to stop the virus is actually creating the virus?
Yeah, that's right. You know, the scientists that invented this, and no one could go in the heart of mankind, of course, you know, and all of us are capable of doing something goofy and something great. But the spike is actually the thing that was they looked at as the characteristic. But now we know it's the problem. So they were creating the problem with the idea it was a characteristic. And now we have the problems we have because we're still doing the same old thing, creating more boosters, creating more spikes. Hence, we're going to continue to have more problems with this thing.
All right, so do the scientists not understand what you're telling me, that the spike is the problem, and yet they're still... I mean, Dr. Fauci just came out and still says we're going to need a booster every year.
Yeah, I think the it's perception problems, Grant, because, like, I believe, and this is something that I stand on and I will go to my death standing upon, our immune systems are created by the hand of God in a way that are extraordinarily beyond what we can understand. Otherwise, how would we have survived without vaccines and medications all these centuries and eons? The idea behind this scientific viewpoint is that we believe better than the human body does. So therefore, we're going to take control of a system, thereby disallowing its control. And so when you try to get into the system that's already beyond your comprehension, your perception cannot be clearly founded upon facts. And therein lies the problem. And this is classic medicine 101. We're going to treat the symptoms with these hypotheses that are faulty on the surface.
So you would acknowledge, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. I'm going to ask you. There are some vaccines out there that work, right, and that are safe and that you don't have to worry about. I mean, we've saved countless lives back in the day with measles, mumps, rubella, probably polio vaccine as well.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I was doing some history studying in preparation for a talk I'm giving this coming week. And I look back at George Washington. This is crazy cool stuff. When he was in charge of the military persons during the Revolutionary War, he actually mandated the smallpox vaccine for those that were enlisted that had not gotten smallpox already. From a standpoint of, you know, globalism at that point, we saw smallpox before inoculations taking about 30% of people out, and after that it went down to 0.2 to 0.5. So it did make some difference. I do believe that the problems began back when the government sort of transitioned the vaccine liability from the vaccine manufacturers to the United States government. That was back in the mid-80s. I think it was under the Reagan administration, possibly. But when that happened, it made liability go down to nothing. And the vaccine manufacturers had nothing to lose. And we went from maybe five vaccines that we were given for people that were 2 years old and younger to well over 20 within that year. And so now, as we sit here in 2023, there are 66 vaccines that are utilized and actually okayed by the CDC, and there are four for COVID. And we are not, at this point in time, doing any good on disease processes. We're actually creating more problems by looking at the wrong parameters, the wrong perceptions for our solutions.
All right, and all of those vaccines were the traditional... some part of the virus going into your body, not this mutating your DNA and RNA, correct?
That's right. And people should understand this. You know, typically a vaccine, Grant, is one that has a inert, smaller part of a virus that's generally harmless. Let's talk about the flu, for example. You know, we know the flu vaccine does not prevent the flu. Some people who get the vaccine will get infection, and some people who don't won't. And so we know that there's a small number it work on and a small number it doesn't. And there is the unique characteristics of the human being. And so these little small, inert, harmless portions of the virus that are introduced to the body are meant to give the body a chance to see it, utilizing the innate and adaptive immune system, and adjust by creating these antibodies that actually have a memory, meaning that when the body confronts something like this prior before it's faced, it has a memory that it can create it again. One point of note that I found very interesting is SARS-CoV-1 back from 2003. Little publicized data, but this is fascinating, that people that were exposed to SARS-CoV-1 were exposed to SARS-CoV-2. Not vaccinated, just exposed to SARS-CoV-2. Interestingly enough, they created antibodies to SARS-CoV-2. Because of this wonderful adaptive immune system, again, that mankind is never going to be able to grasp fully.
Yeah. It is amazing stuff, and I do believe natural immunity has got to be the best when it comes to this. I was never vaxxed. I've had COVID twice. My antibodies are through the roof, but I was never knocked over from COVID. I mean, I really looked at it as a bad case of the flu. Is natural immunity best?
It is, and this is interesting. There's a study out there that I've got my hands on. I'll be glad to send it to you. I think it'd be very good to have, but when we create these antibodies, which are known as IgG. That's our most predominant antibody created by our immune system. When we create those things, they're very strong. They're very robust. And they actually are created after or subsequent to the IgM antibody, which is short-lived, acute stage. And if we don't kill it out then or adjust and destroy our viral invaders, we create then the IgG. And IgG has memory, of course. But after we've been boosted a couple times, the IgG1, which is the most strong IgG, gets transitioned to IgG4, which becomes the weakest IgG. So we see a weakening actuality of the immune system's adaptability after the second booster.
So that would explain why these studies I've seen that if you're three times boosted, you're four times more likely to get COVID than if you have natural immunity. This is all part of explaining why that's happening. Mark, so I want to ask you the heart of the question then. If people are upset about taking the vaccine, which I actually think they should be, can you get it out of your system, the spike protein out of your system? I'm going to ask you that question, but first I want to tell my friends over everywhere about Midas Gold Group. Midas Gold Group are veteran-owned. These guys are patriots. They are like you and me. I trust these guys. I tell everybody. I would tell my mother to invest with Midas Gold Group. I would tell my father to do this because I trust them. There's a lot of gold companies out there. I don't know a lot about a lot of them, but I know about Midas Gold Group, and I wouldn't be telling you to go see them if I didn't have the utmost faith in them. MidasGoldGroup.com, that's the website, MidasGoldGroup.com. We see banks failing. Gold is typically been the most secure asset commodity available since like the beginning of time. Why not put some of your portfolio, IRA, 401k, you can do it. The guys at Midas Gold Group can help you do this and transfer it into a precious metals IRA. MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-GOLD. Again, MidasGoldGroup.com, MidasGoldGroup.com. All right, my guest is Mark Sherwood. Sherwood.tv is his website. He's become an expert on all things health, specifically virus, vaccine related, and really a go-to guy for all of us that have been asking questions about what is the government doing and why are they doing this and what are the ultimate results of this. So with that, Mark, Doc, if I don't want this vaccine in my body, I didn't take it. Thank God I don't have to decide this. And I want it out. A lot of very prominent doctors I trust, including Dr. McCullough, people like Dr. Malone, say, I'm not sure you can get it out of your system. We're not sure about it. What do you say, and can you get that spike protein gone?
Well, I would agree on the face that Dr. McCullough and Dr. Malone are correct, because we don't know. And the reason we say we don't know, and I want our listeners to understand this, is because when something's inserted into your genetic code, what does that mean? We've never done it before, right, to this mass broad spectrum. And further, we don't know if insertion of an mRNA, we believe this is the case, it goes backwards through something called reverse transcriptase RNA, which means it can alter your DNA. And so that's a powerful, almost nauseating statement to think about. But here's what we do know. There are some studies out there right now that you will see and people will see about nattokinase. Nattokinase has been used in vitro, which means they take a petri dish and they expose nattokinase, which is found in the Japanese natto, and they expose it to the spike protein, and they find that it's actually very good at degrading the spike protein. So there's some pieces of information out there that are very encouraging. Again, that needs to be elicited more through probably human studies. Now, secondly, here's the more key thing we need to understand is there's a lot of people out there, and I've talked to them, and we have thousands of people we deal with, Grant, and there's probably several hundred quite frankly and honestly, that are vaccinated and have buyer's remorse. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. Am I going to die? And our job is to first and foremost to tell them, stop with the worry and the fear, because that in itself can castrate astronomically the effects of the immune system's ability to deal with the spike protein. What we have done, because we do not know whether we can get it out, is we've actually worked on diligently improving all of the cellular capacity of nutrients so that our immune system and our oxidative stress system have all they need to go above and beyond to deal with everything they're going to be exposed to. Because it's not just the spike that's the problem. And I hope people hear this. I'm not minimizing the spike. I think it's terrible. But ultimately, if we have a landscape in our bodies, Grant, that is absolutely already immunocompromised, highly chronic systemically inflamed, we're going to have problems with whatever we do. So I think it's a combination of improving all detox pathways, lowering the toxic burden we're bringing in, and then really having some grace to accept the things we don't. Now, to date, of the hundreds of people that we have, none of them to date have had any significant issues because of the existence and or taking of the mRNA vaccines.
All right. So that's good news. Let me go back to the first thing you said. It was a very complicated name. Tell me this again, what this was with the petri dishes and the injected.
Yeah. So nattokinase is an ingredient found in the Japanese food natto. Now, many times you see things that have the words A-S-E at the end of those, the suffix, if you will. That generally means enzyme or ability to break things down. We already know the enzymes sort of degrade something so that it yields something else. So they're more like junctions. The body is full of enzymes, of course. And so nattokinase could be looked at in that light. So what the investigators did, they took the spike protein and put it in a petri dish outside of the human body, which means in vitro or in outside of the body. And so they exposed that spike protein to nattokinase. And they found that the nattokinase would generally begin to degrade very well the spike protein. So there is some encouraging scientific studies going on out here that would give us hope.
How would you, as an individual, take this nattokinase?
Yeah, you can get it through supplement form. It's very easy to find today. If you live in a culture or a country where you can get natto, eat that. It's good. But that's where you would get it. We've also, in our practice, utilized high-dose broccoli sprout powders. We've utilized hydrogen-infused water, things of that nature, to provide the same type of opportunity to degrade those things that get upon us.
All right. Now, the other part of this, we're talking with Dr. Mark Sherwood, Sherwood.tv. You say about improving your immune system. To me, this makes total sense because early on in the COVID virus, when I was looking at the pictures of the victims in the paper, I don't say this to be mean, but I knew something was wrong because every victim I saw was overweight. They were fat. They were obese. Every single victim I saw in the New York Times as they're putting these pictures up were obese. And I said, well, this is odd because these are out of shape people. By and large, we have now learned that if you had comorbidities, obesity is one of those. If your immune system was challenged, all these things, you were going to suffer from COVID. If you were a healthy guy, and I like to consider myself a healthy guy at 54 years old, you were going to be pretty much okay. If it works on a large scale like that, why wouldn't it work for your immune system?
Well, it's fascinating because you do look back at the comorbidities, and number one was age, and number two was obesity. All right, so let's look at characteristics of both. First of all, characteristics of age. When people are aging, they begin to have less hormone manufacture, like a postmenopausal woman or an andropausal man. The hormone presence, Grant, makes our IgG work better. In other words, it makes it less inflamed and more effective to go fight these antibodies or go fight these spike proteins with its full force. When we talk about obesity, it creates chronic systemic inflammation, which actually lowers our immune system. So we have two hits to the system that can be corrected. And that's what I find is really interesting because we have the ability at Functional Medical Institute, where we are, to test the IgG effectiveness. In other words, we can test our immune age compared to our chronological age. And we have found that if we can lower the immune age, which we can, 20 to 30 years sub or below their chronological age, they actually perform better and have less immune problems.
I would just like to tell everybody out there that my chronological age is 39 and I'm 54 years old. And
come
I'm
on.
Happy about, I'm very happy about that. My anti-aging doc does a whole battery of tests. Mm-hmm. And he came back. He says, man, this is unbelievable. It's great. I don't eat as healthy as I should. I eat pretty healthy, but I don't eat as healthy as I should. You could always do better. You were a bodybuilder, though, Mark. I mean, so talk about being able to be strict with the diet. I want to ask you about diet, because it's not possible for everybody to just be eating like a caveman all the time and vegetables, and I believe in meats as well, but, you know, vegetables with no tox. Like, how does somebody do that? So I want to ask you about that, because I know that's a big push of yours, is to get the toxins out of your system, which is a noble cause. But before I do that, I want to tell everybody, right now what we're seeing, folks, I mean, just look at what's going on with President Trump. Just look at what's going on with the tyranny, with the oppression, with the left coming out and doing crazy things. You know, the Second Amendment was there for a reason. It was there for a reason to make sure we protect ourselves from tyranny and a radical government. Add in the left going after us with crime and coddling criminals. What are you going to do to protect yourself and your family? I urge you to go to PMArmory.com. That's Pickett's Mill Armory. PMArmory.com. These guys, veteran-owned, are making fabulous tactical and hunting rifles. You can use for self-defense. You can use for sport. You can use to go hunting. They come right out of the box with premium parts, 100% American-made, right here. Look, premium barrels, premium triggers, other parts you can choose. And again, the greatest part about PMArmory.com, Pickett's Mill Armory, is the price tag. You're going to get a premium rifle for not the premium price. So I urge you all, pay them a visit, PMArmory.com, PMArmory.com. So Dr. Mark Sherwood with Sherwood.tv. Doc, you're helping a lot of patients who are concerned about all this stuff, including having the vaccine in your body. You say, let's start improving our immune system. If you have the vaccine in your body, start improving it. Start improving your health. Let your body build up to fight against some of these things. You are very outspoken about deleting toxins and poisons from your body that we find in the center aisles of the grocery, right? The peripherals, the fruits and vegetables and the meats, and the center is where you get all the junk. How do Americans really do this without being a bodybuilder like yourself who you know, I'm sure was so strict with diet?
Yeah, and I don't want people to live my life. It's too high maintenance. I'll just say that right now. But here's the thing. I'll be a little bit coy with what I'm saying to set the tone for the answer. If our United States government tells you to do something regarding your health, you probably need to do the opposite, because they've shown full well that they don't know what they're doing, as evidenced by our negative disease trends for the last 75 years. The CDC, as a matter of fact, probably should be named sarcastically the Centers of Disease Out of Control and Lack of Prevention, because we're not preventing anything. We're just finding more pharmaceutical drugs out here to utilize, and we're becoming, you know, Pharma 101. With that said, it is about being aware of and generally making the best choice available at the best times. In other words, we cannot, and this goes for me, you, anybody listening around, it's almost impossible, and I think it probably would be, to avoid all toxins. Hence, we have a detox system, right? I don't think we can avoid them all. But we need to be generally aware that when we put in foods that are processed, that are boxed, that are full of chemicals and preservatives, we need to become at least a label observer that have more ingredients, we're going to get more potential toxins. Additionally, if we find ourselves being overweight or over fat, belly fat, we need to really pay attention to what we do to reduce that, because toxins grant store in fat tissue. Isn't that fascinating? So the more fat we have, the more toxic we become, the more immunocompromised we are. So it's really about just making a conscious decision with intentionality to make better choices all the time. And if you do make a mistake, I always tell people, just get up off the deck. Keep fighting. Do not live in shame, and make your best better every day.
I've always said God gives you one body. You better take care of it. And it seems like everything we come back to is if you're out of shape, you're going to be in much worse of a position to fight anything off.
Yeah, that's no question about it. I mean, we know, as back to our discussion a moment ago, the biological aging process is much, much different than the chronological aging process. And thankfully, there's a few docs out there across our country, few, need more, that sort of get that idea. So we are not bound to age by the calendar, but we are going to age by things that we have control over, or mechanisms of decisions, I call it. We make these calculated probabilities every day, Grant. We go across the street, we turn left in front of traffic, we make a decision to let something into our border. We really need to execute better border security up here with our mouth, I would say.
Yeah, border security with the mouth, that's good. But how do you do it, right? I mean, look, I love my vegetables. I love my fruit. I love a good steak. I'm going to be grilling today. Steak's out on the grill today. But how do you cut out the rest of the stuff? I mean, you know, you go to the bread. I'm going to have a sandwich. I'm going to go buy a sandwich. The bread probably has all kinds of stuff in it. Who knows? I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah, the things the government subsidizes, I mean, there's about nine things, but they include corn, soy, wheat, and dairy. So if you can just think about those four things, corn, soy, wheat, and dairy, if you can begin to look at that and eliminate those things one at a time, of course, in processed sugar we know is not any good, we'll do better. Thankfully, there's a lot of opportunities today. You mentioned bread. Everybody knows that bread is the ultimate comfort food. But did you know you can use cauliflower sort of bread today? And you can use cloud bread, which is out there. You can even take a piece of green of some sort, you know, and roll it up and make your little wrap like you normally do. There's opportunities out there.
It sounds awful, Doc.
Well, just we got to adjust our thinking, because ultimately what people need to know is there's a highly physically addictive component to these chemistries we have within sugars. It drives the same pathways as cocaine, and the breads and dairy products we have will drive the same pathways as opioids. So there is a highly addictive component. It needs to be adjusted. What we do with people is we give them a list of what we consider anti-inflammatory foods. And we tell them, do your best to eat off that list and do not diet. Do not look at calories. That's bad science. Just if it's on the list, yes. If it's not, no. And we try to really just coax them and encourage them along the way.
It's fascinating stuff. I mean, I read in one of your articles as well that even the term the Food and Drug Administration is like an oxymoron. What does food and drug have to do with each other?
Not much. I've said that they're a match made in hell, and they really are, because Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, said three things that are very profound thousands of years ago. Obviously, he would be rolling over to his grave right now. He said, let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food. He also said real true health begins in the gut, and he said disease begins in the colon. Now, he was oversimplification with all of those statements, but they are generally true. And so we've got to bring food back in as our medicine. Remember, our earth is made for us to have maximum optimal sustainability and thrivability, excuse me, but not to just die from the earth. So the perfect ingredients are here. But now it's clouded with the ability to find them. And so you got to have, you know, discussions like this to help do that.
Yeah. I want to ask you, too, about eliminating, the elimination pathways and what that means. You use that term a lot. And I want to know what that means, elimination pathways.
When the body, its detox system, just a general physiological explanation of this, when the body is confronted with something that's produced on the inside called an endotoxin, and there are some, or something that's brought in from the outside that we get exposed to, such as an exotoxin. And let's look at the spike protein as being an endotoxin because it's now produced inside. The detox system is triggered. There's a phase one that looks at that toxin and says, I need to convert that to a form that I can get rid of. And that's usually a water-soluble form. So phase one recognizes and begins to prepare it to be converted. Phase two, once it's converted, grabs it like a bouncer in a bar, so to speak. It says you're a problem, boom, and phase three is elimination. Elimination is through the bowels, through the fecal matter. It's through the urine, it's through sweat, and things of that nature. So our jobs is to do this. We need to pay attention to the toxic load coming in, lower it the best we know how, the best we're aware, improve our ability to clear that or eliminate that, which at the end of the equation, Grant, equals lowered toxic burden. Lowered toxic burden is going to obviously equal lower accumulation of fat tissue, lower inflammation, and better ability to perform from an immunological standpoint.
All right. Is the spike protein a toxin?
I think so. It is, because it is not natural to the body. It makes no sense for the body, and the body is producing antibodies to it. So in that definition, it would be a foreign invader. Thereby, it would be toxic.
All right. There was a study, you know, my very, very dear friend Emerald Robinson, who I used to work with over at Newsmax, and she does a great podcast, too. She asked you about this metal oxide nanoparticles. Cornell did a study on this in our food. I want to ask you about that, but first I want to tell my friends about PatriotMobile.com. PatriotMobile.com, folks, I just made the switch to Patriot Mobile, and I could not be happier. One of the things about Patriot Mobile is the customer service. You're talking to somebody right here in the United States. Two, when we talk about a parallel economy, don't you want to support companies that support the same things that we do? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative cell phone company out there that's operating on the same 4G, 5G networks that the big three are. So I urge you to go to patriotmobile.com/Grant. That's important. Use the promo code Grant for free activation. And they make it super easy to change over. There's a guarantee that if you get hit with a cost to switch contracts, they'll pay that off as well. Just use the promo code Grant. PatriotMobile.com/Grant. I couldn't be happier with Patriot Mobile. All right, Dr. Mark Sherwood is who we're talking to, Sherwood.tv. Dr. Sherwood, there is this study from Cornell, the food grade metal oxide nanoparticles invading the human intestine. I guess, what is it, coming through our food? What is it? It sounds awful.
Yeah, obviously those are ingredients most presumably in vaccines people have heard of. You know, nanoparticles, that's a term that we're really becoming near and I won't say near and dear, but near and fear to our hearts, right? And so the idea behind it, though, those are also in foods. They're found in processed foods, many times like cereals, you know, little Wheaties and Cheerios and things like that. And we are feeding these to our kids. And Grant, it's an accumulation, right? The accumulation is the problem. The reason these things are accepted into our food supply, and again, most countries don't allow certain ingredients that we do, but the statistical, let's call it game that they're playing, is they'll take, again, a small amount of a toxin, and they'll say, well, that small amount has no negative effect on the physiology of humanity. But what they're not doing in that study is they're not putting multiple toxins together. In other words, a small amount can add up to a lot if it's combined with other small amounts. And therein lies the problem. Nobody out there is doing studies on multiple chemicals put in and exposed to the human body. But I suspect we don't need studies. We can look at humankind right now and we can see cancer. Cancer is rapidly approaching heart disease as the number one killer, Grant, and it hasn't ever been the number one killer of mankind, of humans in America. And I predict in the next 10 years, it's going to surpass heart disease. Heart disease kills 600,000 people a year. Cancer is on its heels. We're seeing the body's lack of ability to detoxify manifested by the cellular damage that accumulates, leading to cancer formation and likely spread.
It's scary to even think about the numbers. And I even go back to when I was a kid. Again, I'm 54 years old. I don't remember kids being as overweight as they are. There were certainly processed foods back then. I was just asked what was my favorite cereal, and I think Fruit Loops were my favorite cereal as a kid. That can't be healthy, and I can only imagine. what's in that, but it just didn't seem as bad as it is today. And then when you think about all the processed foods, all of the number of vaccines, you said we went from 20 to 60-something. Yeah. And it can't be a coincidence that we're seeing cancer and other diseases on the rise.
It is not. It's an accumulation of damage, immuno-instigators, lack of detoxification, immunocompromise combined with systemic inflammation and obesity. I mean, it is not a coincidence now that we have obesity as now the fastest growing non-communicable disease in history. People need to just think about that statement. That is like overwhelming. Further, you have about 1 in 2 to 3 adults, depending on what statistical database you look at, that are insulin resistant right now. You have 1 in 3 children predicted to be on type 2 diabetic drugs by the time they're 40. And this is a shocking one. 40 years ago, you had autism at 1 in 40,000. Today, it's less than 1 in 40. Statistics continue. It's going to be 1 in 2 by 2050. It all goes back to what you just mentioned. It has been an accumulation, increasingly so, of the toxic load, and the lessened ability to clear has created this toxic burden so heavy that mankind cannot keep up. And Grant, I tell you, as much as we've got going on in our country, you know, you mentioned it, you know, with the gold, people should buy gold, people should buy their guns, man, that preserves the First Amendment. I get all that. That's true. But we cannot fight if we're dead, and we're allowing ourselves to be destroyed on the inside out. And this is important. We have got to get a hold of this and not ignore it, but put it into the equation of what we're doing.
Yeah, we sure do. You can't fight if you don't have the energy and strength and health to do it. And so 100% correct on that. Last question for you. You know, you had mentioned other countries don't allow certain things that we do. We're supposed to be leading the world in how we live our lives. America is the greatest nation on earth. I still believe it is. We are exceptional, far more exceptional than any other nation in this country. Yet we're allowing things that Europe isn't.
That's right. America is great, the greatest nation. It has some of the greatest people with the greatest hearts known to mankind ever in the history of the world. American spirit is still here. But let us understand that we're all capable of falling for the love of money or the love of profits over people. And that's exactly what's happened from our leadership. You know, they have. A lot of our politicians take money from Big Pharma. You can just look at their ethics report. That's not okay. This is why they won't come out against them. Big Pharma advertising to our children, interrupting our favorite sporting events. Most countries don't allow that either. The question becomes is, have we, as a leadership group of the country, compromised our principles so much where profit is valued over people? The people still need to fight back and believe, and I believe we're going to win because that's who we are. But I do believe we need to be aware of the battle that is and the reality that we have to face.
Sad part is I do believe that profits have taken the first priority over people and power as well.
Yeah.
Profits, power over people, 100% in my opinion. Dr. Mark Sherwood, it's great talking to you. I so appreciate you. Again, where can people find you?
Yeah, then go to Sherwood.tv. We're just out here to be a blessing to people. And Grant, I really appreciate what you're doing too. I'm honored to be with you today, and I appreciate all you're standing for, and I honor that, and people should support you in that.
Well, I'm grateful. Coming from a guy like you, I'm humbled by that. As I said, Dr. Sherwood was in law enforcement for, what, 24 years, Doc?
Yes, sir, 24 years.
24 years, Tulsa Police Department, which, man, there's so many great cops in Tulsa Police Department. I could do a whole podcast.
Yeah.
On, you'd never know it. This, what I call, you know, I grew up in New York. I don't tell anybody, and I live in Dallas, and I'd say Tulsa, this little city, but it's not that little of a city. But, man, they got some good cops in there and some unbelievable stories. So if you still talk to them, a big thumbs up from me.
Yeah, I do. And one thing about Tulsa, it has a bachelor's degree requirement. That's what makes it a little bit unique. So you get these people that have worked through problems in life. Sometimes they've did okay, and sometimes they haven't, but hopefully they learned from a few.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Dr. Mark Sherwood, Sherwood.tv is where you can find him. I so appreciate you coming on today. And folks, do remember, GrantStinchfield.com, GrantStinchfield.com. Like this video, please share it. If you're listening on the podcast, on Apple or Spotify or wherever you find your podcast, please give us a review and then subscribe and tell your friends about it, because this is how Stinchfield's Army rolls through word of mouth. That's how we're doing it here. And don't forget my friend Mike Lindell as well, MyPillow.com/Grant. 2-for-1 deal on the MyPillow deal. Two for one. He's got a new pillow out, the MyPillow 2.0. He sent me one. I absolutely love it. Mike Lindell, MyPillow.com/Grant. Use the promo code Grant on that. Folks, I so appreciate you being with me today. Grant Stinchfield over and out. Stinchfield's Army Rolls.